shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren. With us this week, we have a comedian, a Whitecaps enthusiast, and a new YouTuber, Mr. Chris James is with us.
Is that a defining characteristic of me now?
What's
that? The Whitecaps thing?
It was the first thing you said when you sat down, so.
And yeah, you're also wearing the hat.
Yeah. There is a game, like, I'm going directly to go watch a game after this. That's kind of why it's on my mind. They're playing right away. Yeah,
so it is a defining character.
We won't keep you too long. You can definitely go still see the soccer.
You can see them kick the ball around.
Yes.
As it do.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they do until it goes into the net or not.
Or never. Hey, paella man, wing one up here.
Sometimes never. Sometimes you go out to the old ballpark and you don't see any goals.
There's not even one.
No.
No, that's my entire understanding of soccer, or what the Europeans call football.
Exactly.
Is through that one episode of Simpsons.
How they just kept passing it around.
Yeah, and it's pass, it's ties, you bet.
See, you know, the thing is that nobody, like, if you don't like soccer, then you think of it like, no, they don't score very often, so that's a downside. But as a fan, that's actually an upside, because it, like, means there's a lot more anticipation for a goal and a lot more buildup. And
true.
So if you like that aspect of it versus, like, other, when there's goal after goal after goal, it sort of takes it away.
Like basketball.
Yeah. Well, basketball.
It's just points forever.
Yeah, exactly. Although I do love, I mean, I love sports.
They take the rock to the hole. They go hard in the paint.
I didn't know you were a fan.
I'm very deep into it.
I didn't know that you were actually
She's a basketball expert, actually.
Yeah, I can tell.
It's just because I'm tall. No. None of that's true, except that I am somewhat tall.
Soccer's my favorite sport to watch.
Is it really?
It is, yeah. Because I like the anticipatory piece and, like, watching them do all the footwork.
Well, you're also very continental.
Sure. I like to drink a teeny tiny espresso and smoke a little cigarette and watch some football.
Yeah, they do. At the games, they do sell those.
Little cigarettes and little coffees.
Yeah, it's a combo that you can get.
It's called the Italian uncle. Yeah.
You know, when I, like, used to live on the drive, so you just go and, like, watch soccer with all the old dudes.
Joe's Cafe or
whatever.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be Italian soccer that you'd be watching, because that's,
I'm pretty much, like, I'm a fair-weather fan insofar as I just watch the World Cup, basically.
Maybe the Euro Cup.
Maybe.
Do you ever, no? Just the World Cup?
Just pretty much the World Cup.
Because so, like, that's, I know a lot of people like that they get into it. I don't mind that. That's cool, you know? Like, it's, I understand that. It's, There's some sports that are like that, like curling. I can only watch the really big.
The Breyers Cup?
The Breyer, I mean, not even. I would like to watch the World Championship.
Not just a workaday Bond spiel. That's not going to do it for you.
Yeah, not just John Cullen out throwing rocks with his friends. He's a comic who just got a curler as well.
I actually love curling so much.
Curling's really.
I dated a curling captain in high school.
Wow, really?
Captain of the curling team.
Wow, that is like.
Was his name Gordon?
So he was also the coolest guy in school.
Totally. He also was an umpire and played the tuba. That's pretty great.
Wow. That's the sex appeal radiating off that memory.
Real good at finger picking.
Wow, surprising. That's cool.
Well, you got it. There's a lot of dexterity involved in all of those sports.
Sure.
Honestly, it must have been a pleasant surprise for you. Because considering curling, and I umpired, though, when I was younger, for a little while. It wasn't a fun.
It's a way to make not very much money.
Yes, that was,
You're like, I'm a young boy. I'd like to make some money. Oh, it's this much, and people yell at me all day? Great.
Yeah, that's it. You're a child, and these grown men yell at you.
They hate you so very much.
And they get, and they really do hate you, and you feel it.
Their whole hearts. They
and
hate
you don't need, you're 14 years old or whatever, and you don't need a grown man hating you.
Sorry. You're like, I haven't even touched a boob yet. This is so upsetting.
Well, hey, at 14 I had touched. No, I'm just joking. I hadn't.
I was like, could I? Maybe.
Yeah.
We were, like, really scanning them. No, probably not.
I hadn't
thought about it.
How old were you when you were dating this curling phenom?
16?
17,
16,
okay.
What's he up? Do you still know him now?
Yeah, very tangentially. He's got a kid. He lives around here somewhere.
Wow.
I guess he leveled up then.
Finger
in his
banged
game.
His way to a kid.
That's, like, some real. He was so good that he got her pregnant.
Without even. Wow, that's. I meant that he led up to.
No, he's just,
no. Really good.
He's just really good at it. What is the instrument that would make you think that they would be good at it? Like the clarinet or bassoon, perhaps, with lots of
or
buttons?
Piano.
Saxophone.
Piano. That's the obvious
piano
choice.
Or keyboard.
Yeah, keyboard players.
That's, see, it was just so clear what it would be that I couldn't even think
You're
of
right.
It.
It was too clear.
It was too obvious.
I'm already crying.
You guys are both crying.
So what's his name? What's the guy's name?
I'd rather not say.
That's what I like
though
to
do. Though, I mean, it's, anyone that knows that would listen and it's like, knows exactly.
Yeah, the description was not exactly vague.
Yeah. Whatever.
You love the Whitecaps, basically.
I'm here to talk about the Whitecaps.
Great.
You're
to talk about the Whitecaps.
Yeah, you have a podcast about that already.
Tony,
you do that
Chani,
on your own time, goddammit.
Tony Chani is, like, he's a defensive midfielder, but he's been struck. No, I'm just...
I was just, okay.
Look at how kind she is.
She was being really
totally,
nice.
Totally just going to go along with it.
I'm very sweet. I don't know if you've noticed.
We already had a podcast where someone talked about the Whitecaps for a long time.
Did we? Who was it?
A cat?
Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, we the cat power.
No, cat.
No.
Cat.
You guys have had more than one cat?
We've had several. Yeah.
I have a cat named Cat. My cat's named Cat with a K.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I don't
that's,
know.
I'm kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that cat would be the best podcast guest.
Well, she is part of the alt-right.
Oh, no!
Yeah, she has an Instagram account, and she's always like, she posts really cute photos, but the messages are suspect. To be honest, sometimes
have you talked to her about this?
She's no talking to her. Oh. Build a wall. That's what she likes to say. She'll
take
build,
a nap
she says,
on
build
top
a wall
of it.
Around me. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
I
just want
she always
just
uses,
build a wall out of cardboard boxes.
She uses all kinds of the language. Mm. You know,
that's really alarming.
You gotta get a handle.
It's getting
on
to
this.
All of our youngest and our best and brightest. Mm-hmm. Not so much, actually.
No, like, and by the way. When do you guys like?
Yeah, this is coming out soon. Today's fucked up with Nazi bullshit.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a lot of fucked
say,
up Nazi bullshit.
I just
happening.
Watched a video. That
you
video.
Know what? Unfortunately, even if we release this in a couple of weeks, it would probably
still
be
some,
true.
Some Nazi
is...
bullshit.
Oh yeah, but maybe not a car driving into somebody. And killing
it's the Charlotte. The Charlotte. Is it Charlottesville or is it
Charlottesville?
Charlottesville,
Virginia.
God, yeah,
yes,
I have some
terrifying.
Friends who live in Virginia too.
I have I have an account. Well, probably if we talk about like more what I'm doing, I'll explain why.
Sure.
But I have an alt-right Twitter account, like a Trump Twitter account. So I exist in the in that side of things, too. And this has been one of the only things where, like, even they seem to be like, oh, come on.
Ugh.
Like, this is nasty stuff.
So you're, like, infiltrating, kind of, with that.
I get, well, the reason is because I have a fake, I'm making a fake radio show. So I have a fake website and Twitter account.
Okay.
And phone number and, like, all the things to have a call-in radio show.
Okay.
So I'm just spending time building it up so I can pretend like it's real when then get guests onto it, you know. So I'm doing that right now. And as part of it, I have a Twitter account. And the amazing thing is the Twitter account, I had it for 1 week and I had more followers than my real Twitter account.
Oh, my God.
So it just, people just follow and they're so nice and supportive. I can understand why people get involved.
That's so scary.
Because I'll tell you, this is a really good explanation as to why people would love being part of the, like, Trump Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
So I will sometimes make little jokes or whatever for myself. And somebody was like, something saying how liberals are all stupid, and I said very true, but I spelled very V-A-R-Y. Because that just makes me laugh or whatever, but I don't want to be too obvious with that. I don't want to, like... But then somebody came in, like an Antifa person or something. They always fight with me on that account. And then they said, like, oh, it's very V-E-R-Y. You know, they corrected me, which is kind of relevant because I'm making fun of people being stupid. So it's not even really splitting hairs. It's, like, kind of an important... And it's a really, like, simple word.
But they came in with, like, sort of the sort of, almost like classes bullshit a little bit to be like, well, you're actually stupid. And I'm
well, get out
you.
Of your mom's basement. Stop covering your face. But, like, 50 people defended me and nobody took his side.
Wow.
And it felt good for a month. Like, I realized after, but I was like, I can imagine how when you're always wrong your whole life or you're always making mistakes and you're being told you're dumb and wrong, that to be in this situation now where it doesn't matter that you were wrong in that situation, that there's a larger picture, and that is that we're all together, that might feel pretty good.
Oh,
that
God.
Makes me feel sick to my stomach a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a very good explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it, like, distressing for you to look at this darkness of people?
Yeah, it's distressing. Well, okay, so, I mean, the thing that so I prank call all these radio shows. So it's more than just reading the Twitter. I like, listen to it all day long because I sit on hold on these radio shows, and you got to listen to it because they might take your call. Yeah. You can't be not listening. So I have to listen to them doing their, like, alt-right radio shows. And so, yeah, it is somewhat distressing. Yeah, no, it is.
This is going to be, like, a bookmark, and we'll check in with you in a year and see if it's actually, like, sunk in and you've, like, totally converted to the other side.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I don't think that that'll happen. Probably. I think I disagree fundamentally with too many of the things.
Probably good.
But, yeah.
Because we don't know you super well, so we're, like, just trying to poke you and find out, like, how much of this are you into for fun?
Oh, no, I'm pretty liberal.
Yeah.
I would say.
Are you a cuck, would you say? You're, like, a huge cuck.
I'm often referred to as a cuck, to be honest. I get called a cuck all the time, and a libtard.
A little libtard.
They always call me a libtard. Constantly. Well, because I call into the shows over and over and over again, and I said who I was to begin with, and I call numerous shows, and a lot of the listeners listen to numerous shows. Mm. And so,
they've connected it with Red String on a wall somewhere.
Well, I mean, I got accused, I don't know how much you follow the American politics, but there's a fellow named George Soros, who, controls all of that. Well, I had a caller call into one of the shows, and they accused me of being sent by George Soros.
Wow.
In order to disrupt these shows.
But you're just a shit disturber of your own accord.
Well, yeah, so I did stand up before. Yeah. I mean, I still do kind of. I'm hosting this weekend right now. But I do comedy, and then I really like to prank people and mess with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing it to Kurt Schilling, who's an old baseball pitcher.
Yeah,
he's
a
famous
douche.
But yeah, he's on Breitbart, and he has like an alt-right show. And he would say all these horrible, horrible things on Twitter. And so I started calling into his show and bothering him, and then I realized he had a live stream of it, that he live streams it on Periscope. And so I could get, like, not easily, but you can get Periscope videos, you can download them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I can call him and I can edit the footage. Like, I can get the footage for myself and make my own show out of me phoning him, you know? And then,
seeds of an idea.
So, yeah, so that's kind of how I decided to do that. And that's what I do now.
It's called the Not Even a Show
Show? Yeah, the Not Even a Show. It's called the Not Even a Show. And it also has sketches and stuff. So I have, like, a blue screen in my apartment that I just shoot on. So I do, like, my own sketches, like, with other people sometimes. But mostly, the majority of it is prank phone calls. Yeah. It's
so you're a jerky boy.
So I'm banned from Kurt Schilling's show. So I got banned from that show, and then I started looking for other shows, and I found another show that I got banned from as well. And then I realized that, because I have three phone numbers. I have a landline, a cell phone, and then I have a Skype number that's based in Idaho. That's for my fake radio show.
Okay.
So then I have three numbers I can get through to people with, but they blocked all of them. And so I had to figure something out, so I got an app. That's a call scrambler, and it scrambles your number.
I'm so glad that you're on our side.
I've just discovered a bunch of new shows that are liberal shows that are kind of shitty, too, that I probably might mess with, but not in the same way, but yeah. But yeah, mainly what it is to have if they live stream the show. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, all these radio hosts nowadays feel the need to put themselves on a camera, in their place.
Like, they didn't realize that they got into it because they had a face for radio.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. There's a reason why you're on the radio.
Like, nobody wants to fucking look at Alex Jones's, like, bloated face.
It's crazy that people do. But yeah. No, I know. No. The weird thing is that for some reason they think, okay, it'll be good to just have for 2 hours or 3 hours, however long.
It's the
long,
most boring thing to look at because they're just sitting there.
Exactly. It's boring to look at unless you can call them and really get under their skin. And then you start seeing that they're emoting in a way that they're not realizing that they're emoting. And I can edit it anyway. I can zoom on specific things on there. And so I realized that now it's all about finding shows that are live streamed. So I have like 11 shows that I've found, amazingly enough, that are...
Wow.
That are... One of them is an anti-vaxxing show. It's specifically a radio show that just discusses
anti-vaccination.
Oh my
God. What a world you've cracked into.
I love getting vaccinated so much. Yeah. I'm going to go get a Hep B vaccination soon.
I got through to that guy's show. He just does it in his own place. He's just there and he's got a camera on himself. But I got through to him with my call scrambler, and I said to him, I said, that I know a guy who knows. I said, my cousin knows you. It's the one I do often. I say, my cousin has a friend who knows you. And he's like, oh, really? What's his name? And I say, his name's like whatever. I said, he told me that you meet him in back alleys and he gives you back alley vaccinations. Like, what do you have to say to that?
And that's absolutely false.
Yeah, but they hang up on you, which is why it's beautiful that now I have the app also records your calls on your end. So the best part about it is that they'll always try to cut you off and they'll cut off important parts of your call, but you can, because I'm the one editing it afterwards, I can take my audio and I can put it in there and make it seem like that did get on the air, you know?
Yeah.
Like I can kind of spoof it. But now that I've realized how easy it is to get through, because, I mean, a lot of these shows have no... I'm the only one calling. I'm calling over and over again.
You're, like, sustaining the...
Yeah, with different phone numbers and just calling back over and over.
What if the whole alt-right is just people doing this?
I mean, it's, like, yeah, the one guy tried to... He was trying so hard to get his... I felt bad a little bit because I was calling from different numbers to make him think he had a lot of calls because his phones weren't working. And he was trying so hard because he's like, I've never had this many calls before.
Oh, but it was really... I almost feel bad for him.
Oh, dude, you should have heard his show. You wouldn't feel bad for him. When you hear no. these people, I mean, they're consistently Islamophobic. Huge one is anti-Islamic. Right. Massively.
They've ever even met somebody who was.
And just outwardly, like, too, I like, not in a way like, hey, we need to discuss this matter. Just like, terrible songs about really awful anti-Obama stuff. Mm. Super transphobic. Yeah. Transphobic is a big one and a huge one and homophobic massively. So that's, yeah.
So boring.
So that's one of the things we like to do is to call the homo, like Kurt Schilling's really homophobic and Wayne Dupree is this religious, super homophobic, like really mean homophobic guy. And we like to call, I do.
The royal we. You and your multiple identities.
Well, I have all these characters that I call with.
Speak to Wolf Thomas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's another weird thing.
We'll talk about that later.
That's a different character. I like to say, like, that I'm jacking off to his live stream because that just drives him crazy.
Oh, he hates it.
He hates it so much. So, yeah, that on Wayne Dupree, like, I'll ask him how much the Patreon would be for
to get Wayne Dupree?
But I think that... now that I've discovered, like I was saying, that I can get through to these places so easily, I've decided that it's not good enough to just do prank calls. Like, that's kind of boring to just prank these people. Like, I could ruin Wayne Dupree's show if I wanted to. We already did. I mean, we made it where he was... We felt bad, like Gavin and I. Gavin Matz is another comedian who helps me.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that tracks for sure.
So Gavin,
you're
like
both mischievous boys.
And I felt bad. I was watching, and he's terrible, but he's still a human being, mm-hmm. and you can see that he's. Like, he doesn't know what to do. He's defeated. Like, his body language is just like...
Oh, you crushed his spirit.
And he doesn't realize that I have a call scrambler. So he keeps saying, like, I'll tell you one thing for sure. You're not getting through again. Like, he keeps saying that, not realizing that the next call is me calling in again. But so...
You love this.
I love this.
Yeah. So I realized that a fun thing to do with it, which is sort of the direction I'm going to take it, is to use it as an arena for sketches. So I'll have characters that I'll write that will be specific characters. They'll have characteristics. They'll have, you know, backstory to them. They'll, you know each other, some of them. Mm-hmm. And they'll call all these different shows and use that and use their footage to edit my own sketches. So it'll be, it won't be so much prank. I mean, it will be prank calls, but, you know, it won't be prank calls that will get me banned from the show. It will be long-running things where I can call in over and over and over again, and only at the end does it become clear that it was all, you know...
A ruse.
You can, you develop the character's narrative through these, like, discussions with the host or whatever, and you start to learn more, like, oh, we learn a lot about his backstory episode, because...
And then, so I have a character, and like, so then I'm listening to a show or whatever, and I hear them talking about that, and I say, oh, that character would call in about that topic, probably, and would have something to say, and so then the character calls in and says something else, and, you know, so now that I have it at my disposal to do, that's kind of what I want to do. Like, there's, and not only with alt-right shows, like, there's an MMA show. Okay. That I got through to, and this ex-heavyweight UFC champ was on there, and I would have a character like Tough Tom, who's like an old tough guy who thinks he can beat up everyone, you know?
Can we speak to Tough Tom? No.
That's the thing. I can't do voices. That's the thing. That's one of my big problems.
That's going to make this project a little difficult.
That's one of my big problems, and I don't, like, it's okay most of the time, but yeah, I do need to learn how to change my voice. But Tough Tom just thinks he can beat up everyone, so I just called up, the guy's name's Heath Herring. He's like... He's actually in a famous internet video where before the match, this a Japanese fighter kiss. They come face to face, and he kisses him on the lips, and then he punches him out. Like he's like, it's like went around the internet for a long time.
That.
Yeah. So Heath Herring was the guest, and I was like, hey, I got a question for Heath. Like, you think you're tough? And he's like, what? So like, I that to me is really funny. A character. Just calling me the MMA, like, as this tough old drunk who's, like, he's tough around his city, you know?
Yeah.
And so he sees these guys on TV, and he's like, that guy's not tough,
that
you
guy's
know?
Not tough.
Look at
I'm
him
Tough
sitting,
Tom, I
yeah.
know what tough is.
Like, that guy can't do shit. And so he feels the need to call, you know? And but, yeah, so...
Tough Tom.
Anyways, it's...
I love Tough Tom.
So, yeah, it's a fun... thing to do, and it's sort of what I like to be able to stay at my house and do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, versus do with stand up, you have to tour around.
Yep.
And go to different places and be like a you know, you can't. Mm. I like to have a community for real, and
yeah.
So it's like really important to me. And like I like going out, but like with my friends to go play soccer or to play basketball or mm-hmm. something like that, or to go out and you know.
Touring's not fun.
No, it's not, and some people like it a bit, but I despise it. Mm. So much so that I just said, you know what, I'm not going to be a stand-up comedian. Even though I was, you know, I was sort of doing that, and
yeah.
It is still how I make my living, you know,
right.
From my albums, but not so much from doing shows. Like, I sort of said, hey, I have to figure out something that I can do from my home or in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And, and this seemed like the most fun. So, yeah, so I'm just hopeful now. That's why I'm, you know, trying to come into
yeah.
fun things like your podcast
yeah.
and stuff and talk about it and tell other people so hopefully some people watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
our thousands of listeners.
But that's not, I mean, I don't think like that. That's the way I'm thinking of it, too, is like that I think it's sort of a niche thing, but it's, you know, I get to a few people.
Oh, there's bound to be a few people who will check
I'm
this out.
That's what
we
I mean.
Will,
I never,
sure.
I never probably would have if someone's like, watch this thing, but the way you describe it, I'm so charmed.
But you did, I didn't realize that Wolf Thomas wasn't a real person, like a distinct individual. I thought that this was just some guy who showed up and was just a huge asshole.
How long did you think that for?
For like 3 to 4 weeks. This was like before I was...
Can you
fill
me in on
this?
This was like last year, like last spring, I want to say, or something like that. Because this is like before I was doing things like on a pretty weekly basis. So I like wasn't at enough shows to actually like get the backstory. And I said one dumb thing and then my friend Justin said, it's Chris. It's Chris James who is Wolf Thomas. I was like, oh, I better go. Because
he was like some shitty guy, and you were like, hey,
yeah.
I'm the police, and I need to stop this shitty guy from being shitty.
Oh, maybe,
yeah.
Maybe,
I'm
maybe.
Maybe. I'm the nice police.
He's not very, like, socially conscious.
Yeah,
he's so not maybe a, you
something
might've...
that would rile up our sweet, sweet, shrill SJW bitch. Like,
you might have had problems.
Self-identified. I know what I am.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff that Wolf... Yeah, see, Wolf Thomas is like a character that's like he like stopped doing stand-up a long time ago in the, like the 80s or whatever, and he never was really successful then anyways, but he then came back and now he doesn't really understand why everybody sort of dislikes him now and why he doesn't get spots and why like his attitude towards like women and like minorities and stuff isn't accepted, because when he did it was all accepted, and he just thinks it's that
he's been out of the game for so long.
And but the genuine thing is like there used to be, I just in doing stand-up and going and touring around a little bit and doing shows with people, there's all these real sort of, there's these things that old comics do that are really funny. To like yeah, like they're really funny, not in a, they don't mean to be funny, but like selling CDs after like a 5-minute spot or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Ooh.
Like, so that makes me laugh when I see someone do that. And of course, and so I can't do that in a way, but then I think to myself, that's Wolf Thomas could do that, or not just do it, but so I did like a satirical version of it, like even worse, like I heightened it. So I went to like Seven Dining Lounge, which
mm-hmm.
was, and then I I bought a t-shirt from somewhere, and it was like, it was one of those stupid t-shirts that had writing on it and said, like, I'm not great with advice, but can I offer you a sarcastic remark or something like that? You know, it's like some really shitty t-shirt. And then, so I wrote a joke that was the punchline too. And it was a really bad joke, but the punchline was that. And so I went on stage and I just told that joke. It was about that 25-second joke. And then I was like, here's the joke. And then I said the punchline. And then I was like, anyways. And then I pulled the shirt out and I was like, I'm selling this shirt. Like, you know, if you want to have a... And it didn't terribly. No one thought it was funny at all.
But that didn't stop you.
No, no. I used to do characters a lot when I did stand-up before. I used to do characters that people didn't like, for sure. Like, that they would be intentionally, like, disruptive or whatever. Like, I thought it was funny to do that. Like a character that was, like, a slam... He did slam poetry and didn't respect comedy. It also was, like, very disrespectful to comedy. Like, I did it at the Comedy Mix, and I came out, and I brought all of my stuff with me onto the stage because I was like, those people in the back, I'm not going to leave stuff in the back. And immediately the crowd was like, who the fuck is this guy on, like, an amateur night, you know? And then the character, like, did slam poetry that would be, like, it would sound sort of, like, it would sound like kind of, like, art, like a real poem, but then in reality it was the verse to, like, a really cheesy well-known pop song, and then you would only become clear when I did the chorus that it was that song. So it would be like, I'd be doing all of the lyrics as, like, a slam thing, and then I'd be like, hey, now you're an all-star, you know? And then everyone would be like, oh, fuck you, you know? They would all just be pissed.
They hated it.
Yeah, they would just be pissed off, like, because they were like, you know. So
what does that feel like to you when you do that, though? Like, is it exhilarating or?
Yeah, then I liked it because I was like, maybe I was like angry or something. So I liked it.
Fuck,
I was like,
you for coming out here.
Well, yeah, it wasn't that. It was like more fun you to like comedy and like comedians doing like dumb stuff. Like, I thought that I was like, but I'll
really
tell you.
Skewering
them. Yeah, I thought I was like really. Stick it to them. But now I think like it definitely gives me, I do a bit as. I did it as Wolf Thomas first, and then it did so well, way better than any of my other jokes. So I had to start doing it in my own act. Like, I closed. My album closes with it. My act closes with it.
With Wolf Thomas?
Well, or? I say that I'm known as the Wolverine, like, in that joke, I say... But it's just, like, I don't know if you see me do the joke, but I say that I
never saw Wolf.
Oh, okay. But even as myself, I do, maybe only as a, like, a, when if I'm headlining, because I tell the crowd to heckle, so I can't really do it in the middle of a show. It's rude to people who come after me, you know? But, like, so I say that I'm the best at dealing with hecklers, and I make a huge thing about how I'm, like, vicious, and I kill everyone, and, like, so, and so that's why, like, I say I have to open it up at the end, because people get mad if they come and see my show, and they didn't get to see me, because that's what I'm known for, is to taking out hecklers. And so, like, I have to open it up, and then so I open it up, I say, do your worst, and I have this huge build-up, but I'm, like, and then someone does, I have a plant, an audience plant, who heckles and says, like, nice hair, and then I just break down immediately, like, and I'm, like, don't do anything about that, like, and then I, like, have a back and forth with him or whatever. And then he ends up coming up on the stage. I say, if you're so good, you come up here. And then I start heckling him from the crowd, and then he gets me kicked out. And then I, like, scream as I'm leaving. I'm like, I'm the comic. Like, but then when I'm on stage and I'm telling them, like, you fucking idiots aren't going to know, like, and I'm screaming at these people, that feels weirdly good because I know that they're going to see that it's a joke. I mean, some of them already know, but, like, I know that, like, yeah, so it does feel good to be, like, over the top and be screaming in their face because it's so not my actual personality, you know?
You get to try on that hat for a while and just be like, okay, I'm going to...
You're a pretty quiet guy outside of your stand-up.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, like... And I don't like confronting the audience or anything. I don't like having any sort of serious. I'm not. Some comics are like they love putting someone in their place, but it's the opposite of what I am. So to be yelling and saying how I'm the best at that and like, it's sort of a fun thing to do. But I don't like making people upset anymore at a show.
Right.
I don't see. There's no value in it. Yeah. Really. Sure. To be like, you want the end result for them to have enjoyed it.
Yeah, generally. You
know, even if there can be parts throughout where it's like gets uncomfortable.
It at the end that is clever and they're like, oh, I get it. Exactly. You know, like, that's,
The payoff has to be there. And other times before I would just do it, it wouldn't have a payoff. It would just be me.
You just ruin somebody's night.
I would just like built up your callous for dealing with people responding to you, I think. Like, I still haven't had a good death on stage. Like, I haven't really eaten shit yet 2 years in, and I'm like, now it's built up to the point that I'm scared about it.
Yeah.
I've had bad sets, but I've never had a really bad one where I left feeling bad.
It's kind of hard to have a really bad one until you go way longer, and then
you're up there for a long time.
Because I mean, it can happen. You can have, but there's something about being up there for 5 minutes and it's going so bad that you know it's not going to get better, and then you know you have to do 25 more minutes or 40 more minutes or whatever.
Oh God, yeah, like, that would be very painful.
Because sometimes you feel like, oh, I could turn this around, but sometimes it's very, very obvious, like early on, that it's
not gonna work.
Mm-hmm. And then one time I was in Quesnel.
Oh Lord.
And then it was my second gig on the road or something, and then I had to
do
30 minutes.
It's not an easy place.
Yeah, it was the Billy Barker Casino. It was a nice place. It was a nice, showroom and everything.
Sure.
But it was,
Quesnel.
Yeah, and it was during some type of hockey playoffs, a big game in the playoffs, and nobody was there. So I did I did some time, and they hated me so much. They didn't laugh at any of my stuff. They hated me so much. They Norm Macdonald talks about it. They were mad at me. It wasn't just I was just trying to be funny, but they were mad.
They wanted you gone.
And then I was like, oh, I thought I had done 15 or 20 minutes, and I looked down and I had done 2 minutes. And I remember it so well, looking at the clock on my phone, and it said 2 minutes, and I was like, I knew I was with somebody who would have gotten mad if I didn't do my time, and I knew I had to do it to get my money, and I was just it was painful. Then some guy took us, he's like, hey, we're going to make you steak and eggs in the morning, and we're like, yeah, yeah, cool. And then he came to the hotel and started knocking on the door in the morning, and he's like, let's go, we're going. And he took us out into the middle of nowhere, and it was some crazy house. He's a gigantic biker guy. And he took us out to his place, and he made us beautiful steak and eggs. And then he's actually a really nice guy. And his name's, he does comedy. What's his name? Tom Bassett.
I don't know him.
He runs shows up north, and it turns out, he's a sweet guy. He comes down to the
town. This was a rough night, but a good morning.
And he looks like the scariest. He looks like a Hell's Angels guy. So it was really terrifying.
Almost always, universally, the people who are best at making breakfast
are the Hell's Angels.
Yep. I don't know why, it's just a thing.
That's really cool that you're pro Hell's Angels on this podcast.
I'm very pro, totally into them. No, my brother is a biker, though. He's not a Hell's Angel, I don't think.
He's not a one percenter? That's what they refer to. Somebody who would be in a gang would be a one percenter.
No, I don't think so. Although my mother asked me that recently. She's like, do you think Mark's in a gang? I was like, no. I don't think he likes group associations in general. That's why he rides a motorcycle.
It's a very individual activity.
Yeah, he can put his girlfriend on the back and then go for a ride, and he's happy with that. But I don't think he's not gonna run drugs or anything.
He calls her his girlfriend.
Not his old lady.
His old lady.
Because that would be a dead giveaway.
You can read this, the bitch fell off. No, it's it's very much, he calls her his girlfriend because they've only been together for 2 years, and he's smitten after being married for 20 years and not being very happy. So he's crazy happy right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's good. But I don't think he took that
in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's quite a bit older than you, then.
Yeah, my brother's 50.
I gotcha.
And my other brother's 47. So there's 48, I guess. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, we have a big gap. I'm 32, though.
But that's a big gap.
That is a big gap.
That's a massive gap.
Yeah. It's 15 and 17 years.
That's funny. We're the same age, 32. I'm 32 as well.
You're 32 as well.
How old are you?
I'm also 32.
Whoa, what the hell?
32.
Wow,
so very... It's the most Australian age you can be.
If you're not, if you're listening to this and you're not 32, then you're
get
on a different...
Yeah,
well, you're just on a different
fuck.
Wavelength, you know? You're just really not with it.
I guess I shouldn't alienate our other fans.
No, we should. Let's do it.
Yeah. We had a Hell's Angels neighbor for a long time in Gibson's in the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, yeah?
He had the property next door and would often host big gatherings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Jamborees or whatever they call them.
Gatherings of the Bikelos.
Yeah. Hell's Angels Jamboree.
Is that what they call it?
I don't know, but
no,
I think it's Boy Scouts.
There's a name for it. There's a name. I forget.
They would just, they would always play really good music though. They had a band that would come.
Yeah, they have money, so they probably could hire people who are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. get Burton Cummings to come out for her or something.
Oh my god. But my mom really liked the guy. I think his name was Chuck. She's like, he's really nice. Yeah, he helped me, like, you know, the dog got out and he helped me get it back. Like, he was a very good neighbor.
Yeah, but they're always real nice to the neighbors. Exactly. And such. They don't want people who would be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tattling on them and
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Everyone. Yeah, that's the whole idea. The old, what's his name? The drug lord who would, you know, he paid for everything. Pablo Escobar.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody loved him. That was, you know, he would buy, you know, pay for community centers and mm-hmm. stuff. And then that way.
Yeah, what a philanthropist. What an amazing dude. Yeah. And then it's like, well.
I mean, he
like,
kind of was. Mm-hmm. The money was coming from that place, but yeah. It was still, he was buying those things. Mm-hmm. I used to sell crack cocaine.
You did?
Yeah, when I was younger, I did.
Okay, that was like, there was like literally no.
What were you talking about?
Just like, no, I know, but it's just like, it went from like, I used to sell crack cocaine when I was younger.
I just drove around and like, they have like dial-a-dope lines, you know? So it was like more like.
Did they really? I didn't know that. I knew they had that for weed, but I guess that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that's the main, it's still, nowadays, it's still the main way that they do it. So it's based on a phone.
You have a number and you have a guy.
Yeah, and it's all based on a phone, which is the really crazy thing. So like, people will actually try to rob people of their phone. Like, you get the physical phone.
You get their contact.
And then the people are calling you and you meet up with them and give them drugs. So it's like a physical.
Crazy.
But yeah, the idea of the crazy thing is that people would like take over someone else's line, but then they know the phone number to call. So they would just, you laugh, but they would call them and then murder them.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
But you know what I mean? So they'd be like, hey, we're going to take over your line. And then like 1 week later, they would phone it and say, hey, come meet me. I want to get some drugs from you. You know, like not well thought out. No. But I wasn't well thought out either because I was just like a dumb kid and I didn't really think or care
for much. Did you just start up your own business?
No, it was like my friend who I knew, like I had friends who were involved in drugs and stuff. Like, hey, do you want to just drive around and do this? And I was like, yeah, that's whatever. And then some guy was like, one time said, hey, what if I didn't want to pay you? And there's this guy with no, his shaved head. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe
and that was the end of it.
That was the end of it. I just stopped doing it. I was like, yeah, he had a good point. What if he didn't want to
dabble?
What if because I wouldn't have been out. I didn't have a weapon with me. Yeah. So, yeah.
And you're going and meeting people individually. It's not like you got
I had me and my friend, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Yeah, no, it was a bad decision making, but thankfully I got my life in order and now I make prank phone calls.
So take that, guidance counselor.
Yeah, sorry. That's right.
I just played footsie with one of you under the table.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine then.
Yeah, you go through, it's like, you know, you're small business owner, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like media.
Juggernaut?
Some, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The juggernaut.
You've got lots of transferable skills to like from that experience.
Yeah, we can edit you a pretty impressive resume from all of this, I think.
You know, I need to get a resume
Courier.
Because I want to do pranks where I go to a fake job interview and record it, like as a, you know, like. So I think it would be really good if you didn't have any intention of getting the job whatsoever.
Just
you didn't
to
care
really
about it at all,
be so aggressively
and you had an idea
honest
of what you were going for and stuff. I think you could make something, and I could get the audio for sure. The video would be tough to get, but the audio is easy, and I could just make a fake resume, so I could get all kinds of. Like, I could get interviews, you know, because I don't have to put real stuff on there.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm not planning on actually getting hired.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
It's all these people are your unwitting, like, scene partners, basically.
Yeah, that's what I like the idea of that found footage. Like
non-consensual improv.
Well, yes.
It's improv everywhere. Now you're part of the show.
Sometimes I put at the end of my show starring Kurt Schilling. But he doesn't want to be on the show. Of course, he hates the idea of being on it. He's blocked the Twitter account. So what the next thing that I'm going to be doing...
He doesn't want to be on the show.
And so we're going to keep calling him over and over again and saying, hey, when are you going to be on the Not Even a Show again? And
then he's going to call him and he won't expect a woman.
Yeah, the only problem is his 604 number... Because he does a show in the middle of America, so no one else calls.
Well,
him
I hear that there's a phone scrambling app that you can use.
Oh, well, if you were, but the problem is it shows. I wake up at 6 in the morning to call him.
Oh
by the
God.
Way,
as this well. Is a lifestyle.
That's what time.
Well, this is what this. You're really devoted to not leaving your home if you can avoid it.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. No, I wish that it was at a different time because it does make it not so much. I'm up at that time. It just makes it difficult because nobody else is awake to like make the calls with me.
Yeah.
Or, and yeah, and so I haven't learned to... The way that I got through most recently was that this call spoofer also has a thing that can change your voice.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, so it can... But it just changes the tone and it's suspicious.
It sounds fake.
It sounds a bit fake, although it... beat the call screener, and it's the first time I've got on in 3 weeks. I got through this guy who knows my voice super well. And I managed to tell Kurt a really nice story about how my uncle had met him in Florida and thought he was the nicest guy. And Kurt said, oh, that's great. He said, yeah, he met you in a bar, and he said that you sucked his call. And he was so, because I hadn't gotten through in so long, so he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for it at all. But then the weirdest thing happened, because all in my head, I was like, just get to the part of the story. Like, first I was like, butter him up so he starts getting excited about your uncle. Like, make sure, like, my uncle said you were so great. And he's like, oh, that's great, you know? And I was like, just get to the part where he said that he sucked his cock, because you'll hang up immediately. But then he didn't. Oh. And he's like, oh, okay, so what's your question? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't think we, why are you still on the phone? Yeah.
But you hang up first.
Yeah, he just really needed some content that day.
Yeah, it is amazing that in the chats they go pretty crazy. I try to screenshot stuff if I can, but they'll
go. Oh yeah, because if they're doing a stream, people are commenting like.
Yeah, in Periscope and on Breitbart, if you go to either of them during that show, they'll be like Chris from Vancouver. They'll be even weeks after I stopped doing it, there would be people saying stuff about it, and people will come to my show from there sometimes and comment on the YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Like someone said, he reported it to the police and all this stuff.
Like, are they able, they're connecting it to your real name? Are
they? They connect it to my, sometimes they're able to connect it to my real name, yeah. No, I'm not concerned.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't connect the fake, like, I won't, that's why I won't say what the Trump Twitter is, because I don't want any connection between those two things. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not concerned. I use my name and use my information out there, and I use other people's names. Yeah. When people post things, people will always block out somebody's name if they're using the screenshot. I never do that. I always leave a person's name in. If somebody posts something publicly, a private message. But if it's a public post that was up public somewhere else and they meant for other people to see it publicly, then I don't mind sharing their name. And some people,
they're generally horrible people, so.
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. But I mean, sometimes they're just like a listener of my show who like said one negative comment, and then I like did like a reader mailbag, and then I like read it out and used this
room. We keep hoping for a reader mailbag because we just wanted to call it the Sea Hags mailbag, but nobody sends us letters, unfortunately. Also, I never check our email, so I don't know if they did or not. Yeah, send something there.
People don't really do. Yeah, people sometimes on Twitter every now and then.
People don't want to ever send you an email. That's why Gavin and I have decided with the Big Rock Show to just stop accepting Facebook requests for it. Just set up the email. It was like, that's a great idea. I don't know why I was just allowing people to just message me constantly. Just to make it a
bit higher barrier?
Yeah, because somebody will just be like, can I get a spot? I'm like, I've never heard of you before in my life or spoken to you. Please give me some information. Mm-hmm. But whatever.
People got to get up, though. They got to hustle, you know? That's somebody told them once that that was a good way to do it.
So many people have told me that that's a good way to do it. Is it not a good way to do it?
Should just bother people all the time?
Call show? Oh, no. I don't do that at all.
That's what I mean. Sometimes people, I think, like, hustling, and they just take...
They misinterpret.
Yeah, and they think in their mind that that just means, okay, well, that just means I have to be constantly asking all the time, you know? But sometimes you have to use tact. Sometimes people lack that, you know?
I'm not getting, like, 100 billion spots or anything, but it's pretty easy to get, like, a couple spots a week just by, showing up, doing your job, and being polite.
Yes. And you have to be kind of a little bit funny, because they'll start to...
I wasn't going to self-identify as funny.
Yeah,
God forbid.
But yeah, because people will stop, like, you know, people won't book you for shows if you're not funny. Actually, I mean, some shows they will, like, because you have a show. Sometimes people who have a bad show or something will be like, yeah, you can do a spot on that show to anyone, as long as they'll give them a spot. That's a really, I ran a show one time for 2 weeks when I started. I just hated it, though. I hated it.
I actually really love it.
Yeah that's good.
I get to feel like the boss. She's pretty sweet. Not like the boss, but like Bruce Springsteen. I feel like Bruce Springsteen the whole time.
Your show's good. You have a good show. I've done it before, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. It's close by my house too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a good spot. And your ticket. Those guys are gone now.
Yeah, I'm staying. I've been doing it with them the whole time. But I'm staying. I'm with Gavin Clarkson to do it.
That's cool. Yeah, so there's a change. What happened? You guys had a big falling out.
Oh, yeah, we fought like crazy.
I heard about it online.
Yeah, we just hated each other so much. No, it was they're doing PhDs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Justin's defending his on the 18th, and Kyle's finishing his up right now. So they're just so busy.
That makes
sense. It's a lot of work to do a showcase show every month. Like, we have to, like, get the posters and
send them out to the person. It's also a lot of work to do a PhD.
Yeah, yeah.
You do a lot of work.
It is. It is. Which is why I'm never going to do one.
No thanks.
No thank you.
Again, check back with you in, like, a couple of years. You're probably going to be doing one.
Fuck you. Yeah, probably. That's fair. No, that's called out. But, yeah, accurate.
I'm the same. I'm like, I'm never going to do that. That about getting a master's degree. I said that about finishing
undergrad. We're going to be 45-year-old doctors for sure.
Yeah. You have a master's degree?
I do.
Wow, that's cool.
In public health.
In public health,
That's really cool.
Blew up your spot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Where did you go to school?
Turning the table.
Well, we don't really talk about it all that much.
Doesn't matter. SFU.
Oh, that's very neat.
Yeah, she's got a bachelor's and a master's.
So what do you do for a living?
I work in politics now.
Oh, that's cool. I'm interested in politics.
Mm-hmm.
My brother works in politics. Which party do you work with?
The NDP.
My brother works at the NDP.
Ooh, okay. We'll talk off air. I can't talk about anything.
She's a secret.
Work-related
she's a secret
now.
Babe now. She's
very cool.
She's legit. So.
Yeah, I have to not. I was thinking about when you were saying, like, people using tact. I've come across a lot of very tactless people recently.
It's hard to do within
the NDP.
No, not saying that.
I'm joking.
Not saying that.
Just when people want things, which they always do. When people want things, it's really tough to sometimes for them to do it, to ask for it in a way that makes you want to help them.
Yeah, I've had to set some personal boundaries with a couple folks recently where it's just like, hey, stop messaging me at midnight about trying to, like, get me to get you a job. Like, this makes me not want to work with you, and it makes me want to tell everybody that you're awful and not to hire you for anything.
Yeah,
watch out, right?
Yeah, you want to talk about people, and not having tact and being too forceful, and that politics is maybe worse than comedy for that.
They're pretty close sometimes, probably. Like, it's hard to see the distinction at times.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do it.
You guys have a lot of microphones up there, I notice.
Yes.
Yeah.
How come?
This is a studio.
Yeah, I was in a band with my partner, and we built the studio to record our first record.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
My younger brother is in a band. He makes drone music now. Do you know drone music?
I do. I used to play with somebody that did that.
Oh, really?
I play cello, so it's really good at making drones.
Oh, yes, most definitely. He does a festival called the Big Joy Festival, which is a drone and experimental music festival.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Jake.
Yeah.
Holtzkopf
is
the name of the artist that we know.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played at the festival, without a doubt. I watched that person play.
He's adorable. It's really cool.
Yeah, I forget what the place is called. Oh, the GAM Gallery. That's where it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that poster. It was up in the, not Slickety Gyms, at the, this is great content.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. I'm fucking so out of touch with any music in the city right now. I'm trying to book a couple more shows for my band before our keyboard player moves to Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I guess we'll do another show with the Argyle Embargo because we love them and they're the only band that I can think of right now. And we've just done all of our shows with them because it's a really good fit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, who else plays in a band anymore? All my friends that played shows
are
like
babies.
They either have babies or they're like big shot touring musicians and they're elsewhere. And they're not like, I'm not going to fucking play the Princeton with you.
Yeah.
You know, I could sell out Biltmore or something like that. So it's not
a slightly larger venue.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel a little bit like
too big for your britches, are you, dumb freako?
He's in Europe. It's fine.
Get at me, Dominique. I won't fight you. You're 6'8".
Anyway, whatever. We took a big derail.
It happens.
Do you want to, I guess that was like the majority of talking about the show. Do you want to give some like information about how people can find it to watch it?
A Twitter at Not Even a Show, facebook.com/notevenashow, and then on YouTube, because it's new and I don't have enough subscribers, so you can't get the URL until you have enough subscribers.
Okay, you were saying that it's like you're looking forward to becoming a YouTuber and like monetizing.
Yeah, that's what
stuff.
I
want
to do. I want to be a YouTuber like those, like that guy. You know that kid who did that video about how
his little brother bit his finger? Just kidding.
No, but do you know the guy? He was on like some Disney show, and then he became a YouTuber, and then he got arrested because they lit something on fire and threw it into a pool. His name's Jake something, and he made this absolutely amazing video where it's him doing an auto-tuned rap. And it's literally him talking about how you weren't there when I was helping this kid, and I gave him money, and he's sick. And he's, like, saying stuff like that, like, trying to explain why he's a good guy and stuff.
Right, oh, my God.
Anyways, it blew up viral, okay. And that's the kind of thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Is I want to be, like, that guy.
You want to do auto-tuned raps?
Well, I just want to have a huge YouTube following. I just want to make a show, honestly, every week that has, a lot of people. Monetized or not, I can, more so just, like, a large number of people that interact with it, like it. Mm-hmm. And, it gives it sort of a community feel in itself, you know?
It's a, like
Jake
a...
Paul.
Jake Paul is his name.
He also has two names.
Yes, Jake Paul. Oh, that's not... My last name is Chambers.
Oh,
my
I didn't
middle
know that.
Name is James.
I didn't know that.
My middle name is James. Yeah, I don't try to hide it. So that's why whenever anyone brings it up, I always say, Chris James Chambers is my full name.
CJC?
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool name. Oh, my God, he looks like the hugest douche in the universe.
Oh, I wish you could pull... It is the most amazing...
We'll put a video...
Honestly, link the video to it because it is incredible. Some of the lines he says, like... It's unbelievable that it doesn't seem like it could be real.
I helped my mom bring in the groceries one time.
I mean, that's literally, but it's like more douchey than that. Oh, even God. It's like this Make-A-Wish. You weren't there when I met my baby girl in the Make-A-Wish thing. And it's like a video of him with this girl with cancer.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, God. But that's kind of my guy I look up to now.
But I'm thinking about like YouTube as a platform as opposed to like... producing like a web series or something like that. You want that interaction with people and you want like a running narrative kind of
this
spans
is a conversational
over time,
thing
like,
that you're making
probably. Yeah, and I mean, and the funny thing is that's why I call it the not even a show, because on YouTube and the internet people are so mean and they say such terrible things, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna put this up on the internet and people are gonna be very critical of it,
and then
they're gonna say, hey, this show sucks, and then I can say yeah, but it's not actually even a show.
Yeah,
so like that's
you're
a,
already one
so
step
like,
ahead
yeah
of
like they say like, oh, you know, this was the worst show I've ever seen, like thanks for your feedback, but
it's
actually
not
a show, you know, like so that's kind of like the theme of it.
You've got a built-in defense mechanism. It's like, I'll reject you before you reject
exactly.
me.
Exactly. So yeah, but mostly I think YouTube is just a really easy, but I think at some point I'll have to take it off of YouTube because I'll have to bring it over and host it myself on my own website. Eventually, if I have enough people, and because the people eventually will try to stop me from using their footage.
Right.
Eventually they'll say, hey, and if I have it on my own server and then Web000 is hosting it, they're in some crazy country. They don't care. Like, they're not going to be like, YouTube will have it taken down right away.
Right, wherever the Pirate Bay is right now.
Yeah, well, I know the people that host my web thing, I know they wouldn't get it taken down for sure. There's no way. Yeah. So yeah, I might have to move. But yeah, the idea is just to get it to as many people as possible, and YouTube is the best way to do it, you know?
It's an incredibly good tool for that. It unfortunately makes disseminating bad information so easy as well.
Yes.
But that's like also the benefit, is that you can put out good stuff or just stuff that is, you know, artistically meritful.
Yeah.
Which I think what you're doing is.
I mean, maybe.
Meritful?
I don't know.
You've got like the sharp satire angle on there. It's
some of it. I mean, some of it is strictly disruptive. I try to have a...
Wasting the time of bigots is a worthy cause, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I unfortunately have that guilt, because otherwise, like I said, I could wreck that guy's show. And that guy's... But I don't think... He has a right to put a show on. I still think that, you know, even though it's absolute garbage and he's got this echo chamber of hate, you know, but it's still, he has a right to do it. It's not my right to take it away from him. On the other hand, he should get a fucking call screener, probably.
Yeah.
Because that's one of his big problems, is he takes the calls right on the air. Yeah. So it's just call after call.
You're giving
call.
Them, like, just a taste of what it's like to just be a regular woman on the internet who has any kind of notoriety.
Oh, yes.
Like, you're doing nothing worse to them than, like, Lauren Duca gets every day on her Twitter feed.
Yeah. You're right. They are saying sexual stuff to them, too. Because we do a lot of sexual stuff to them. The majority of it.
Yeah, but it isn't any worse than what people are already doing to people who are actually trying to do good things in the world, whereas I don't think Kurt Schilling is. What about traditional values and baseball and apple pie? And I did not get my dick sucked in a St. Paul's fucking bathroom.
Yeah, but he might have, it was in Florida.
Okay, sorry. I was trying to say Fort Lauderdale.
Well,
but,
see,
but
that's my one of my characters. Yeah, his uncle has sucked everybody's cock. And so everyone that I talked to, he said,
a huge slut.
My uncle, whatever, they always came out to Florida, or he went out to where they are, and he has a great story about how he loves them so much. Because people love to hear stories where they were nice.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, you maybe don't remember me, but...
And the best thing is, the ideal thing is, oh, yeah, I think I do remember him. If you can get that before you say, oh, you do?
Yes.
he said
that's great.
So good. Because
he said he sucked his cock.
Anyway. And he did it so good.
Yeah.
Did a great job.
But yeah, Kurt, to be honest, is less homophobic than Wayne Dupri. If you do end up watching my show, you'll realize that.
Yeah.
Kurt Schilling is mean and hateful, but you can see it that Wayne Dupri has true hate. When I start bringing it up, he gets truly uncomfortable and truly upset by it. Versus Kurt just gets a bit annoyed.
Oh, he didn't even hang up on you last time.
Yeah, he didn't even. I was using it.
You guys become friends.
No, yeah, for a while it seemed like that, and that's why I had to ramp it up. He was getting like, oh, we got my friend Chris from Vancouver. He was enjoying it, and then that's when I started.
Probably the best content he's had.
That's though, when I ran. Like, one, I do. I know we're probably close to being done, but just one thing. The best thing that I did by far during the show was that I got him on his show. I would bother him a lot. He calls people stupid all the time, and he at one point mistook the word defame. He didn't know what it meant, so he said, "How can you?" You're talking about James Comey saying he was being defamed. He's like, "How can you defame someone who's not famous?" And so he would admit he didn't realize that defame doesn't have to do with fame. Like it's
so you haven't removed his fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like a kid. He took the two words, defame, and he put them together.
Aww.
But so, yeah, he's dumb, definitely.
He's good at the baseball.
But so I would call him relentlessly about that and, like, ask him about if he had learned what the word is. And so one day I called him and I got him on his line and I bother him about not knowing what the word defame means. And then I noticed on his Twitter that he tweeted that he was going to be a guest on another show and on a nationally syndicated live streaming show, and I got through as the first caller on that show.
You were number one.
And I was like, can you ask Kurt if he knows what the word defame means? And he's like, oh my God, and he loses it. He's just like, this guy calls my show all the time. And the funniest thing that happened, the host of that show wasn't dumb. He was a fill-in host and he was smart. And he said, Kurt explained it to him. He said, well, he tries to make fun of me because I said that, how can you defame someone who's not famous? And then the guy starts laughing at him. The guy's like, well, yeah, you did use it wrong. And then Kurt's like, well, I know. And he's like trying to cover it. And then the guy makes a joke at his expense that he doesn't realize he's making. So he's like, the co-host said that you were only tangentially famous, so by your definition, you couldn't be defamed. And Kurt starts laughing like, huh. And I put in a big laugh track and everything. But yeah, so that was probably the best, like the highlight. I don't know that I could ever top that. Like the look on his face when he realized that. I mean, it was 1 hour later. 1 hour after his show.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's like you're sowing little seeds of mischief like around, and it's fun when somebody else picks it up probably and goes with it like that.
Well, then
awesome.
We had people call into the Wayne Dupri show, not me, and just disturbing it and calling in asking what happened. I don't know who they were. They were just people who heard us doing it and started doing it or listened to the show. Like, I've had people who watch my show call in and then they send me a message to say I called in at this time, and we've used that stuff for the show, you know?
Wasting idiots' time today. Yeah. I think that's an important thing to do. Because, like I said, it's been happening a lot. Like, it hasn't been happening to me lately, thankfully, but when I was more politically active, it happened frequently. And it was just like, oh, why don't you just go dyke out with some dykes and stuff like that? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good time, honestly.
Yeah.
I know, right?
I don't know why that's supposed to be so threatening, but just like the feedback I would get is like, you're just some like dumb feminazi whore and stuff like that. So like, do that to the other side. Like, I'm tired of trying to take the moral high ground on things. I'm sick of it because it hasn't affected it at all.
The dirtbag left.
I am the dirtbag left. Yeah.
I am definitely.
You are the dirtbag.
I'm part of the dirtbag
left. The dirtbag.
But the people that I, there's a podcast called Chapo Trap House.
Oh, we know it. We have an episode called Chapo Trap House for Chicks.
So Chapo, Stefan Heck is an internet guy, and he works for Cafe.com, which is a political satire site. Mm-hmm. And he's very, very good friends with Felix and all the Chapo guys. And Stefan's on my show. Like, Stefan does my show with me, and they make prank calls, him and his friend Rob and stuff.
Cool.
And, yeah, so Stefan and I used to have a podcast about the show Bar Rescue.
You have really specific thematic podcasts.
Yeah, it's really confusing. But, yeah,
it makes it hard to keep them going, I would think.
But, yeah, the cool thing, like, so I'm, yeah, that one was impossible.
We have no theme, so we'll continue forever.
Stefan moved to Hollywood. He moved to Hollywood, so he couldn't do the show anymore. But, yeah, it's
changed those. Changed his name from Stephen to Stefan.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. As soon as, well, it's Stephon actually, his last name is not Heck, it's like something else, but he goes by Heck, because he's an online guy.
Yeah.
So you gotta make your name. You gotta have a funny name if you're online, you know? But yeah, the Chapo guys and those are the guys, like, politically that I most, like, I follow them all on Twitter, and that's sort of where I get my news, is filtered, not just through the Chapo guys, but that weird Twitter dirtbag left style. And I find that it's actually made it a lot easier to digest. And I suggest it. If anyone is like a left-wing person, or and you get frustrated reading all this news about Donald Trump and all this stuff, then read it filtered through that side, because it has the built-in, where they're poking fun, they're making...
There's already a sort of a critique.
It's already built into it, and there's something, for me at least, that is makes you feel good about seeing it and then saying, oh no, it's okay. Those guys have a big following of people, and this is how they feel, which is the same way I feel, and these are, like, respected guys. Yeah, it's comforting, exactly.
When you're just reading it, it's just like, this is helpless a little bit.
Yeah, and then you have to, like, and then, of course, but the nice thing for me, you'll get an echo chamber if you don't watch, but the nice thing for me, I don't have that, because I also...
talk to Kurt Schilling on a
regular basis. I sit there and listen to the right-wing people say it all day long, the exact opposite, you know?
Thank you for doing the Lord's work, because I could not fucking stand that for a second.
No, it would drive me crazy.
Because, like, that stuff really, it gets to me so hard.
Oh, it definitely gets, like, to me sometimes, too, for sure. Yeah.
But the Nazi fuckheads that are in Virginia this weekend, they're just so... like, their ideology is violent and horrific and terrible and all that stuff, but they're so silly. Their vibe is so silly. Like, they came out in pressed chinos and tucked in fucking polo shirts with, like, tiny little Nazi insignias and citronella torches from Home Depot. Like, tiki, they're marching around with $2.50 tiki torches made in China. No mosquitoes to be found. Like, just so silly.
Yeah.
It's so silly. How do there's they think they're superior or supreme?
Yeah. There's definitely, though, they definitely, they want it to be a little bit silly, too. You know, come across as not super harsh, you know?
Like whatever, we're just, this is just, you know.
Yeah, we're just nationalists who are marching. We're nice boys, you know? Mm-hmm. They still do want to have that idea that to the public, to everyone watching, that we're nice boys. We're the good ones. Not Antifa is the ones who are, look at them with their masks on. We just have our little torches and we're, you know?
No, it's cool that the world has been set up so that property damage looks like violence, but, like, people starving doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's fucked. It's fucked, everybody, so I'm glad that you're out there just wasting their time.
Yes.
Yeah, and fucking with them and disrupting. I think that that's...
yeah.
It's maybe not the most noble of the noble actions.
Do you remember...
But you're going to have more fun doing that than a lot of them.
Do you remember Adbusters and culture jamming and stuff like that? This is, like, the next iteration of that in a way. Like...
Yeah, this is much more direct action, though, which I kind of love. It's more gutsy. It takes... Yeah. You have a lot more opportunity to get, you know, hurt in this.
I mean, you mean physically hurt?
Well, probably not, but you might get popped in the mouth at some point, but not if you don't leave your house.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't really, I'm not really fearful of that type of stuff. No. But I think, maybe I'll get, like, threatened online, but I never get bothered by that.
No, you'll be fine.
I can threaten with the best of them. Just joking.
Thanks so much for doing the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So your actual comedy stuff, you've got albums out that people can buy?
Oh, yeah, on iTunes I have two albums. One's called an actual comedy album, and one's called Bottom Text.
Bottom Text is very new.
Bottom Text is very new. It just came out. I just released it very recently. It's like from a meme. You know Bottom Text?
Oh, I know.
She knows what it is. It's in a meme generator. If you forget to... It just has bottom text in there. So if you put the top of a meme in, and then you forget to put
Thank
the bottom
you for
in,
explaining that to
then
me.
It leaves it as bottom text. So it's like an online thing.
It's like an online thing.
That's good. But yeah, buy Chris's albums. Support his livelihood, basically.
I have to buy credits for the Call Scrambler.
We got to get you some bitcoins. Send Chris all your bitcoins to chrisjames@cuck.com. Yeah.
Do you have a paypal.me that people can just send you money?
No.
Chris the Cuck.
Katie, anything coming up for you in the next little while?
I'm hosting a show tonight. Nobody's going to make it.
Okay. Go back in time. Go see some queer comedy in New West.
Thank you. Please do.
I don't have any shows coming up, but I probably will.
Yeah. I mean, we're about to record another episode, so we can talk about it then.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Bye.